Let him ask of a fortune cookie. Let him ask the horoscope in the paper. No. Where's our source of wisdom? It's God.
These days, we have a lot of choices for shopping. We can buy from little convenience stores or chain department stores or even online retailers. We can get almost everything we need delivered to our door. But there is one essential commodity we can't buy in a retail store. Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. We can't buy it in stores, and only one person has it, but we can get it for free. What is this mysterious commodity, and why does the Bible say so much about it? Let's listen to Pastor J.D. as he shares the message, How to Have the Wisdom of God.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1? Now, maybe you thought, oh, can't we just get out of James? You know, I mean, James is so rough on us. I mean, you know, he's like, you know, the Power Ranger of the letters. I mean, you feel kind of beat up sometimes, but the stuff is good, isn't it? I mean, when you've read James, you know, you're getting the straight stuff. You do know that he was really the half-brother of Jesus, and he was the one who grew up with our Lord and witnessed. But, you know, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was an unbeliever. Isn't that amazing? And especially as you start to read what he has to say here. He was an unbeliever. And so it's quite amazing. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 5 through 8. So let's begin at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, how many of you, but I just want to ask the question, does that apply to anybody here today? Most of us and the rest of us are lying. Okay, so we'll teach about the lying next week. Okay, we'll get to that. But so if any of you lacks wisdom, all right, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, did James pull any punch there? No, not at all. He gives it right to us, doesn't he? You know, I love wisdom, and it's interesting to talk about wisdom. I've always enjoyed the wisdom of children. Now, those of you who have children know that they have their own special brand of wisdom, don't they? Isn't that true? Well, I read these wise sayings of children. Never trust a dog to watch your food. Patrick, age 10. When your dad is mad at you and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Michael, age 14. Never tell your mom her diet's not working. Randy, age 9, says, stay away from prunes. He must have had some kind of an experience there. Puppies still have bad breath even after eating a Tic Tac. Andrew, that's still same Andrew, I trust, age 9. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Bill, age 9. You can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Kathy, age 9. How many of you tried to do that when you were growing up? Yeah, some of you guys are probably still trying to do it, huh? If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. Naomi, age 15. They got that one from me, by the way. Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Lauren, age 9. Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Joel, age 10. I love this one. Never try to baptize a cat. That's Eileen, age 8. I'd like to watch that one personally. I added this one to the list, and you heard it last week, our 6-year-old daughter, Sarah. Don't pray for the mean boys at school because God made them that way by accident. There you have it. The wisdom of children. You know, according to Webster's dictionary, the word wisdom means knowledge that is gained by having experiences in life, or the ability to understand things that most people cannot understand. Now you know why we need wisdom. Another dictionary said that wisdom is knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. You know, in the Greek culture, wisdom was the most sought after of personal virtues. The Greeks worshiped wisdom. Wisdom was personified by the Greek goddess Athena. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "For the Jews seek a sign, and Greeks seek after what? Wisdom." That was the passion of their lives. That was the passion of the ancient Greek world, was wisdom. So what an exciting letter this must be to the church from James, the brother of Jesus. James is writing to the church and he's saying, you know, wisdom is not just for the educated. Wisdom is not just for the Greek philosopher. Wisdom is not just exclusively for the people with gray hair, all right? Wisdom is available to every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, every child of God can have wisdom. Can you imagine what an exciting invitation this must have been to a church that existed at a time when wisdom was the greatest virtue? If what James is telling us is true, and by the way, we know it is, it's the Word of God, it implies that a young person can have the same wisdom as an old person. An uneducated person can have the same wisdom as the Harvard graduate. It implies that the poor person can have the same wisdom as the wealthy person. Now, how to have the wisdom of God. That is the title of this message, and I've broken this passage down into three very simple principles that I'd like for us to look at this morning. The very first principle James gives to us is that we do need wisdom. Now, most of you raised your hand. Now, those of you who didn't raise your hand, this principle is for you. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom. Look at verse 5. If any man, if any of you lacks wisdom. Well, now, when do we need wisdom? Well, we need wisdom every day. I have a very dear friend. You know, every time I'd ask my dear friend, you know, what can I pray for you about? You know what his reply? Always the same. Unless there was a major crisis going on, it was the same reply. He would say, I need wisdom. And he was sincere. That was his desire for me, is that I pray for him continually for wisdom. You ever wonder what you can pray for me about? Pray for me for wisdom. I need wisdom every day, just like you need wisdom every day. You know, Solomon is probably the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote most of the Proverbs, but what distinguished the wisdom of Solomon among his contemporaries was its source. Where did Solomon get his wisdom from? Why was he such a wise man? Well, you find it in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. I'm just going to read it to you. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Well, I don't know how you'd answer that question. You might say, "Well, I'll take the lottery," you know. Some of you might say, "Well, you won't say this." You wouldn't say, "Well, I'll take a new husband or a new wife or something like that." I hope that's not your response, but you never know how somebody might respond to God saying, "What is it that you would like? I'll give you anything." And what did Solomon ask for? He wanted wisdom. Now, by the way, at that time, Solomon was already just a great man. I mean, he was the son of King David. He was the appointed heir to the throne of Israel. And Solomon's great desire was that he would judge rightly among the people. And he knew that if he was going to judge rightly, he needed the wisdom of God. Even Solomon understood. As great of a man as he was, being the heir to the throne, being the son of King David, imagine growing up in the shadow of King David, and still this man said, "What I want is God's wisdom. I want the wisdom of God." And wow, you know, isn't it great? When you need wisdom, you can go beyond human wisdom. There is a greater wisdom than human wisdom, and that's what Solomon asked for. And so James, he writes to the church, and he says, if any one of you lacks wisdom. Now, James is not saying some of you need wisdom and some of you don't, because we all need wisdom. James is not saying that some people just have it naturally and some people don't. James is saying, when you come into a circumstance that you do not understand, you need wisdom. The word "if" here means if you happen to be in a trial, If you happen to be going through something that's a hardship, if you happen to be in a circumstance that you really don't understand, and by the way, we learned a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? We all go through those. In fact, there's some that have your name on it. There's a trial, and you're going to need wisdom. It could also mean someone who hasn't yet tapped into the wisdom of God. And by the way, I think that's most of us most of the time. Don't we rely so often on our own wisdom? It's just human nature or the wisdom of someone else. And it might help you, though, to understand that the context of verse 5, if you look at this verse 5, the context is the trials of verse 2 and verse 3. So what did verse 2 and verse 3 say? We studied a couple of weeks ago. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, how many of you have looked at that verse and you said, you know, I just can't get there. I mean, count it all joy when I fall into hard times? Who can do that? Oh, the wisdom of God, how we need the wisdom of God. You know, one of the most common reactions to hard times, I think you can sum it up with a single word, confusion. How often have you had a difficulty and a struggle and a trial in life, and you enter into that and you're confused immediately and you're like, what is this all about? Why am I in this situation? What happened? Did I do something wrong? Did I make God mad? And you know, we're confused about what we're going through. Pastoring a church in the Houston metro area, it's interesting because the church can be somewhat transient. Lots of people do come and go. Some of this is simply due to its location. Some of it may be due to my teaching. I don't know, but the people do come and go, you know. And Houston, after all, it's the fourth largest city in the United States of America. And so you have people that are coming here for various reasons. On top of that, Calvary Chapel, you know, Calvary Chapel is known just about everywhere, all around the world. And so often people move to Houston, they come for some purpose, maybe it's a job, but they end up at Calvary Chapel. And once they get here, they discover that the job doesn't work out. And suddenly, it's confusion time. Confusion. On more than one occasion, I've heard this, Pastor, I'm confused. You know, Pastor, we prayed. We felt God led us here. And now that we're here, you know, it's like we have nothing. Did we hear wrong from God? You know, did we do something wrong? Did we make God mad? Is God angry with us? Is God punishing us for something? And so you get all these confusing questions. And during these times, people and even entire families experience many different emotions. They're afraid. They're confused, even panicked. And really the question for many is this, you know, how am I ever going to have the joy of verse 2. How am I ever going to experience that joy if I'm living in a state of confusion, fear, panic over my situation? And so that's the question. And so James tells us, listen, if there's anyone among us, and that's you and that is me, if there are any among us that lack wisdom, do you need wisdom? Are you going through some trial? Are you in some experience where you feel confusion or maybe you feel some fear? Maybe you're uncertain about the future and you need direction. You need clarification. You need vision. Well, let's look together at the second principle. We all have the same source of wisdom available to each of us. That's the second principle here. We all have the same source of wisdom available to every one of us. Verse 5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of your neighbor? No. Let him ask of a fortune cookie? Let him ask the horoscope in the paper? No. Where's our source of wisdom? It's God. Let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. This passage tells us the source of the believer's wisdom, the same source of wisdom that the wisest man who ever walked the earth, Solomon, he asked God for wisdom. And now James is saying, you ask him too, and you can have that same wisdom. You can have the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of God. Now, this is contrary, by the way, I think we already discovered this, to human intuition. Our first instinct when faced with trouble is to look for answers either from within or from without. You know how it is to wake up in the middle of the night. Don't you know how it is you wake up and your mind is turning over and over on some problem and you're just trying to figure it out? Man, how am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do? This is a real mess. And your mind is in a turmoil and it's like, where do I go? And you can't figure it out. And so the first thing you do, you wake up the next day and you're wondering, who can I call? Who can I talk to? And you go to your best friend maybe, or you go to a coworker, or maybe you call a brother or a sister, a family member, and you begin to describe your situation and you say, you know, I just don't know what to do. Listen, you need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God. You see, it's the wrong approach when we go to other people first. We are to go to God first. James doesn't say that we go to someone else. In fact, he doesn't even say go to another believer in the church first. It doesn't mean that God won't take you there. It just simply means you go to God first and you ask God for wisdom. Now, I would have to say, there are some wise people out there. There are some very intelligent, some smart people, and sometimes you look at a person and you say, well, you know, they have a better education than I do. They've been through more than I've been through. And so you go to them and you begin to ask, but listen, unless that person has the mind of God, the best that they can give you is based upon their very limited understanding. And listen, people's understanding is very limited. Your wisdom can't match the wisdom of God. Your friend's wisdom can't match the wisdom of God. Your co-worker's wisdom can't match the wisdom of God. And when it comes to human wisdom, people are limited by their present understanding, and people are limited by their past experience. But the wisdom of God is far different. And so I want to describe the wisdom of God briefly this morning. First of all, God's wisdom is based upon the infinite mind of God, who sees all, who knows all, and who is in control of all things. Let's say that again. God sees all, God knows all, and God is in control of all things. Now, how many of you believe that? God sees all, God knows all, and God is in control of all things. So who should you go to? The one who sees all, the one who knows all, and the one who is in control of all things. Listen to what God says about himself. If you look at Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, this is God speaking. This is God speaking about himself. God says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none other like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God is assuring you and I that he sees the big picture. God sees everything. He declares the end from the beginning. 3,000 years ago, God could talk about what is going to happen tomorrow as if it already happened. And you may be thinking, well, that's the big picture, but I'm a little picture. That's the big picture. I can understand why God might focus on that, but you know, I'm just a little picture. I'm just one person of 7 billion people out there. Why would God be looking at me? Well, listen, that's when you need Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And you think, well, that's still not me. Well, listen to what David said, Psalm 139, 17 and 18. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. For if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Listen to God. Your life is the big picture. He sees your entire life. He sees the entire event, every event that is ever going to take place in your life. God sees, God knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. In fact, you know, I don't know about you, but there's just times in your walk, you know, you feel like, well, you know, I just don't feel God with me. Or maybe you're not really walking with the Lord the way you should be, and you think, well, because I'm not walking with God, you know, God's not really walking with me. God's not really watching me. God's not paying attention to me. But listen, the Bible says this. The Bible says that God is faithful to us. The Bible declares that even when we are faithless to Him, He still remains faithful to us. God is still watching. It's not a matter of feeling. It's not a matter of whether you're doing everything right. It's not a matter of whether you're watching Him and walking with Him the way you need to be. Listen, He is faithful to you, and He is watching you, and you're the big picture to Him. God's wisdom, based upon His knowledge of everything that could ever be known about you and about your circumstances, isn't that the wisdom that you'd want? Isn't that the wisdom that you would desire? Well, second, as we describe God's wisdom produces godly character within the believer. Now, maybe you've never thought about this, but James continues writing about wisdom in chapter 3, and he compares the world's wisdom with godly wisdom. And I love this, because if you look at James chapter 3, verse 17, James writes, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now, James earlier in the chapter already described the wisdom of the world, and it doesn't compare to this. God's wisdom produces godly character within the believer. I hope you can see that. What a difference between godly wisdom and the world's wisdom. This is especially true, I believe, when the trial involves confrontation with another person. Now, isn't it true that many of our trials, many of our difficulties, many of our hardships is because we go head to head with someone else? Isn't that true? It's a family member. It's a brother. It's a sister. I'll tell you when it really happens is when somebody dies and there is an estate. How many of you have been through something like that? Well, you realize there's some skeletons in the closet that you didn't know were there. But it doesn't matter whether it's at work, in a marriage, in almost any relationship. It seems like at times there's confrontation, even in the body of Christ, even amongst us as a church. And that's one of the reasons why James writes this. Because he's telling us and he's teaching us that we need this godly wisdom when we deal with each other. And so he says, this wisdom of God, it's pure. It's pure wisdom. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield and full of mercy and good fruits and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Listen, godly wisdom isn't just the mind of God at work in you. I do want you to understand this. It's the very nature of God being acted out through you. Listen carefully again. God's wisdom, it's not just the mind of God at work in you. It's the very nature of God being lived out through you. And that's why James defines this godly wisdom in chapter 3. And isn't it true when you really look at it? You look at this picture of godly wisdom and you say, you know, that looks just like Jesus Christ. That looks just like what I've read about the Holy Spirit. That looks just like what I've read about God the Father. And you look at that and you say, you know, I want that kind of wisdom. James tells us that God's wisdom, he says, you know, it's never dishonest. It will never lead you to a dishonest act because it's pure. You know, many times the wisdom of God brings peace into a confrontation when worldly wisdom has failed. That's because God's wisdom is peaceable. Worldly wisdom often calls for harsh treatment in order to accomplish its goal.
You have been listening to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.